Hello, ma'am.
So it's 6 o'clock. So let us commence the Citizens Police Review Board for Wednesday, 11 December.
Called it to order.
All right, so this meeting is called to order. Per usual, we'll start with introductions and let's go from east to west. So do you want to state your name and your purpose? Just your name is good.
What is your purpose?
Paul Dickinson, Columbia Police Department.
Eric Wigman, Columbia Police Department.
Steph Yocum, Human Rights Commission.
Harry Castillo, member.
Denise Blazek, member.
Steve Jeffrey, Vice Chair. Thank you. It's been a while since I've been here. So.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
Rose Wittmeyer, Law Department.
Peyton Oliver, City Management Fellow.
Matt Unrein, Deputy City Manager.
All right. Terrific. So, approval of agenda. Everyone okay with the agenda as is?
Yep. So moved.
So moved. I hear a second.
I'll make a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Approval of agenda. How about the approval of the minutes from 9 October? I was absent, so I will abstain.
I approve.
Approve. We have a
Coleman.
Second?
Second.
Coleman? Harry, second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so moving on to number five, old business, the election of chair.
I propose that we push this back again since we now know that we've got candidates.
Yes.
Wonderful candidates. And then we'll have a full board and then we can make a decision that way better, right? Glad you're still with us.
I second that.
Good. Okay. And I know we run into this in the past, and that's how we've handled it in the past until we were a complete board, and then we've made the election at that point in time. So I would concur with that. Any thoughts, Xavier?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Good with that?
With that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So shall we vote on the postponement of a new chair? All those in favor of waiting until we have a full board?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No? Okay. Wonderful. Okay. New business. So a draft annual report. We have the NACOL conference that was in sunny Arizona. And then any items for next month's agenda. So the draft annual report. Rose, do you want to?
So I have been working on your draft annual report, and I've provided you copies. If you have any comments or updates or changes, please be sure to send them my way when it's time for the January agenda to be posted. Peyton will include a link to the then current draft annual report. We won't close out the kind of draft. You know, we have to keep it up to date through December 31st.
Sure.
So there may be changes through December 31st or anything you send to me before the January meeting, but we will intend to let the public see the draft version as part of the January agenda.
And then we vote on it in January.
You could vote on it in January or February, but you have to get it done in February because it has to be filed with the City Council by March 1st.
It looks good. Thank you for the work.
Good. All right. So how about a report from Denise and Stephanie on the NACOL conference? Take it away.
I'll start, and then every single thing that I have forgotten, you can add in.
All right, good.
One of the most important things that I think that I took from the conference was the need for community outreach. And I know that that's something that isn't on our agendas anymore, but they listed it. Almost every single person that we talked to said that outreach was one of the most important things that they do.
From the board to the
community. From the board to the community, yeah. I mean, there was so many things that they talked about, but like that was like number one. We did numerous discussions, and there was keynote speakers and things like that. They talked about big on transparency and trust, which goes right along with you need a community outreach so they know what we're doing, so that we can be able to reach the community, so they, you know, they're aware of what we're doing. And the fact that we're not doing that anymore is kind of troublesome. So I'm hoping that whoever's hearing this realizes the importance of, if we don't get everything back, okay, but community outreach really is something that people need to know about. They need to know what we're doing. We attended mental health, responding to mental health, which is a big topic here. So, I mean, I took a lot of notes. I said it's been a couple months, but I have my little notepad here that I took a lot of notes in, all the things that we went to, the breakout sessions and stuff. So I would highly recommend that if you have not gone, that you go to one of these, because it was very uplifting, I felt. And I felt good out of it.
I thought last year from going, it was good to get a sense on how other communities handle.
Yes.
And how every community is a little bit different in how they go about what they do. But again, the purpose is transparency and being open. And I think that's key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly.
And there were boards, all size boards. So there were small boards like us, all the way. One of the ones that gave a huge presentation was the Chicago Police Review Board, which is 166 paid staff. And they go, a member of the police review board goes with the officers actively on every arrest. There's a member of the board with all of them all over the city. A lot of them have that kind of coverage, but this is some of the interesting things that we found out. We're not the only state where the legislation got written, and it's a red state, blue state thing. Which I don't know why I didn't realize that, but it is.
Yeah.
And so there were other states that were facing just what we had been. And so, you know, the big question is, what can we do? What can we do? And it turned out that the cities that had the strongest police reviews, like Minnesota, Minneapolis, because of George Floyd, all the ones where there were big lawsuits, it was on television, where just recently the Justice Department came into Phoenix, they'll be having a police review board. So they're all mandated then because of trouble, and or they're trying to settle a lawsuit and they agree to have these. Okay, so this is the thing we came away with that could help, that could really help us. A lot of these states, you know what just happened with the gambling being on the board or reproductive rights? They put it on the whole state to vote.
Oh.
And most people really are interested in it. You know, they want it. And, or you would think they would, or at least give everyone a chance. But once it goes on the ballot, then it's very specific what you can and cannot do, and it happens statewide, little towns, big St. Louis, Kansas City. And so we were talking to the woman from Chicago, and she said that they got it on their bill, legislative agenda. And I said, well, you know, we don't have attorneys. You know, we don't have anyone to really help us figure out how to do that. And I was thinking, I know we have a few attorneys that come here sometimes, and they're very pro-community. And I thought, well, maybe we could reach them. And she said, we did it with the University of Chicago and Northwestern Law School students. They all wanted it as a great project. And I thought, well, here we go. Why don't we try that? And this seems like it's something we got 2 years to get it on the ballot, the midterm ballot in 2026. Maybe that's something that we should take on as a goal and try and make that happen. So that, to me, we were like, whoa, you know, that's huge, but it still looked like it's doable. It's a lot of work. So anyway, that was I thought, an interesting thing we could maybe look at. Let's see, and also the mandated thing. Also, the idea of having police officers sitting
on the dais,
on the board, as though they're part, that was also discussed. And most people are like, that's not a good idea. You know, sitting in the back as an observer kind of thing, but to actually look like you're part of the board that we're overviewing, it's just, you know, it's not clean looking, you know? So anyway, that was another thing that was mentioned, but yeah, interesting people. All ages, you know, really young people, mm-hmm. vibrant.
It was great,
you know,
I enjoyed it.
It was really good. Our hotel was out in the middle of nowhere, though.
It really was.
And, you know, even though it wasn't...
It's a nice view, but...
Yeah, you know, but it was out in the middle of nowhere. And so the first night, if you don't mind my sharing this little social story, the very first night, I said, you know, we're at the patio, and I go, hey, let me get us a glass of wine. So I go and buy a glass of wine. It's $15 a glass. And so I buy us the two wines, you know, 20% tip. I'm like, shit, I like to drink every night, and this is going to be expensive. So anyway, I figured out, as we were driving from the airport to our hotel, I saw all these signs that they delivered weed. And I thought, if they deliver weed, they got to deliver alcohol. So sure enough, I had two bottles delivered that were $34, cheaper than the two glasses. And then we had wine every night.
The moral of this story was...
DoorDash
what
your
happens
vices.
In Phoenix stays in Phoenix.
What happens in Phoenix stays.
But anyway, so it was fun.
Or at least
and,
it did.
But really, I really do think the part about trying to get this on the list, it's got to be forced. And so it's the kind of thing, it has to be forced.
I have a question and then a couple of follow-up statements on the groups that have the most robust outreach programs. What are the general subjects of discussion on outreach? Are they more civil liberties focused, like Know Your Rights, or are they more dialogue established?
Go ahead. Okay, was it Chicago that you were saying that they went along with them and they were immediately putting it out to the public through their social media pages, letting them know whatever incident, you know, that they're at, they had to have it out within, like...
They had tremendous...
24 hours.
Well, that would be cool, but something in between that and this.
Yeah, so right.
You don't want to be doing that.
And but, I mean, that was an extreme, you know, I was
like,
oh, wow.
Did they have somebody go on every call, no matter what the call?
But they're paid employee. I mean, that is their job.
They were correct,
assigned to police officers on duty. So when there was
homicide, robbery, all of that,
anything, they just were there for anything.
Essentially an auditor co-responder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
An auditor co-responder.
And and they're all paid, like 166 paid staff, the Chicago Police Board.
Unfortunately, I think it takes a lot of people dying through unjust means in order to get the federal government to come in and force these large cities to do that. I hope it would never come to that. On the cities that we're doing, so not during the actual call, but the educational outreach that they were doing, what general subjects were they big on making sure, what were the most common themes on education that they were touching?
I don't know how to answer that.
I don't either. I can't remember right off.
Because I know it's such a broad subject, and sometimes it can be so far swinging to a Know Your Rights type view, and then sometimes it can swing to it. Let's establish this wonderful dialogue with all of, you know. So it's a broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. I think.
My gut is more Know Your Rights, know we're available, know that there's something out here for you, kind of thing. But I'm not exactly sure that they didn't go more into the...
And for us, I felt like we were starting to get where we wanted to be. We were trying to, you know, get our word out there through brochures and things like that. And then we had to hold off and everything changed. So, and I mean, we are all having these talks in the community, but we need something more. But of course, now it's something that we're not even really supposed to do. So
suing the state is a lot faster and cheaper. But yes, registering a citizen initiative petition requires X number of signatures. But it may not have to be just us. This, it's possible that this is something that we could reach out to the ACLU on or any other organization that may be national that helped those other states. And maybe they already have a process and a little handbook on how to organize those petition drives and get that legislation passed at a state level. Yes, we really like our citizen initiative positions here in Missouri, and then the legislature likes to try and go back and reverse what we voted on. Yeah.
So were the initiatives that were on the ballots, were they like enshrining the police review boards into the state constitution, or, cool, you know, what were they doing with the amendments?
It was just kind of like exactly like the gambling or the reproductive rights thing.
Do you recall any states I could like look up later? You know?
But the other thing was suing. That was the other, a couple of them didn't do it through legislation. They sued and they won the suits. And, but I thought that, I don't know. So that was another way that, again, using free lawyers and stuff like that and trying to get that.
I've spoken to some attorneys. It's essentially a freedom of speech issue is the suit. We're being suppressed. Our freedom of speech is being suppressed by this law.
And we know that it's been successful in other states. This is the way some of the more annoying of the states' rights arguments work. It just becomes so pragmatic from state to state to state. We know it's been successful in other states, but the state of Missouri is probably still going to fight it as hard as they can, you know, in order to not reverse that, what Governor Parson signed.
All right.
That was amazing.
That was a lot. Yeah. Oh, and one last question. Could you give any examples of any states that have done that, where their state legislature tried to pass a more conservative law and then the initiative petition went through and was successful?
No, because that just happened. Like what happened to us, it happened in Arkansas.
Okay.
There were four or five other states, the same thing.
Tennessee or Kentucky.
And so all of us, there were a lot of Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's right. Tennessee. They were, you know, that we were all like, well, what are you going to do? And then these other states started saying, well, here's what we did. But they already.
What are those states? Who said that's what we
Illinois.
Did?
Illinois.
Oh, I was like, okay. Yeah. And I was like wanting to know
Illinois.
So I could Google
they
later.
They were really helpful. Okay. They did presentations and they did a lot of small group stuff. That was really good.
Yeah. And the other thing that I didn't know about that NACOL actually separate, well, they separate, but they're still part of. There was a lot of breakout sessions on prisons and jails.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that as something, but it was nice to see that there are review boards for that.
We've had some people in the Boone County Jail going on 16, 17 months who are intellectually disabled awaiting a mental health evaluation. It is cruel and inhumane. Brian Keith Curtis Carter.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yes, we enjoyed it. Got a lot of information.
Wonderful. All right, moving on for the items for next month's agenda. I guess first and foremost, hopefully the election of a board chair for next month.
Correct.
Okay.
What I have down so far is, assuming council fills the board and there's full membership, we'll have a special item of Earl Krause doing sunshine law and board and commission training, old business election of chair, and you all had asked me to kind of hold on future plans for review of complaints until the board was fully filled. And then finally, under new business, your brochure update to match what your new revised duties are.
Mm-hmm.
And then items for next month's agenda. And then reports of Human Rights Commission.
Did someone actually go into the website, the city website, and change the bylaws and all of that already?
It should already be updated.
Okay. I believe that was what was officially debated over and then voted on by city, and then isn't it officially changed in the code within X amount of days after being voted on?
The code has been updated, and then we updated, I believe, the web pages.
Okay.
So it should all be done. But we haven't gone back to that brochure draft that you all had been working on, and then the law changed after you said print X number. we need to now update those, that last version of that. So I'll probably send it out to y'all, or Peyton will send it out to y'all. Right. One of us will, probably me. And then if anybody wants to take a stab at changes that you need made, or I might be able to, I can't remember how it was sent to us as, whether it was a PDF or, we may just have to tell them what changes we need, pencil it out, bring up ideas. But we need to update that.
Right. You're going to give the brochure to outreach.
You're not required by the code to do outreach. So the city couldn't adopt an ordinance that required you to do outreach, because that would be putting a duty on you. You can still do your presentations and outreach that you feel is appropriate. So I believe Stephanie has gone and talked to 3 forensics classes and explained what the board does. You can still do those things. You're just not required and can't be required by the code to do them.
Okay, that's a different
thing. Right. So when there are these events around town and we use money from our budget, is that allowed or not allowed?
Assuming you have money available in your budget and you want to participate in something like that, and you agree as a group, pass a motion, or reach consensus to spend X dollars to, get a table at Earth Day or something like that to have, you could still do that. It's okay. Just we can't mandate by ordinance that you do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other items for next month's agenda? None? Moving to number 7, reports. Human Rights Commission, what do you have for us?
Anecdotally, I will say we've always done outreach, and I really enjoy it. We have pretty good luck doing it. We table at Earth Day or Pride Fest and just get rainbow-colored icy pops and just talk to people and have those basic elementary level conversations over and over, but they're very useful. I think they may be a good idea in the future. We are working on an influx of complaints, some of them from certain employers in town, and then we also have a lot of our housing complaints that we're working on right now. We are bringing in a couple of people to speak each month. We've had Jennifer Savage from the food bank, who was incredibly informative, and we've also had Becky from the city Office of Neighborhood Services explaining housing and zoning policy to us, which was really important for what we do. The food bank is becoming an even more powerful grassroots tool for actual people in need of a variety of services. They now have, in 2025, they're going to be hosting monthly low barrier workshops for anyone to come in and maybe learn about financial literacy, things like that. They're also going to have more regular tabling events. It's not a place I feel we need to be right now, but they are really stepping up, doing a good job reaching out to certain segments of the community that have been really overlooked for quite a while. Their programming is getting really cool in that building. That's all I have. We haven't done a whole lot.
Talking about their new facility on the business loop?
Yes. Yep. They have classes, they have workshops, they have
kitchens,
day events. They have a multitude of different kinds of programming. Yeah, and they're adding even more to it. And some of it is really low barrier stuff that more of the general public should probably know about, but I know people struggle to learn that knowledge.
Right. Very nice. Thank you. Moving on. General comments by public. Individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representatives of groups will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. With that, do we have any members? Familiar face. Welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, right.
Good to see you.
Other side of the dais, as I said. I could ask for 5 under a pretense. I think I can confine myself to 3.
Which one would you like?
We'll give you 2.
I'll ask for 5 in case I need it, and I'll say it's the Columbians for Community-Oriented Policing that I'm speaking on behalf of. So set 5, and then if I digress, it won't cause so much of a problem. I spent the last 3 months doing an intensive study of a number of things, one of which, Rose, I'll need to talk to you about at some point, which is an intensive study of the first year of the Citizens Police Review Board. I think a lot of the tracks were laid down, and which is a very interesting year. And one of the results of that time thinking was to more radically rethink whether the first steps taken were the right steps. And so it's in that spirit that I want to read this little thing that I'm doing, which I'm going to describe as a thought experiment, okay? So here's my thought experiment. Suppose the CPRB were to cease to be a quasi-judicial board that examines complaints of misconduct leveled at particular officers. Suppose it were to become a quality control board assigned to analyze what I'll call squeaky wheels. Squeaky wheels being, in this case, incidents that produce complaints from citizens. If the CPRB followed this quality control model, then members reviewing a complaint wouldn't be focusing on whether the officers involved should be judged guilty of misconduct. Instead, they would focus on whether the department as a whole handled the situation that in a way that responsible and thoughtful citizens of Columbia would want them to. Suppose the members decided that the department's handling of the situation was entirely satisfactory. Rather than stopping at that point, they might ask themselves whether they could offer any feedback that would encourage this kind of satisfactory performance in the future. For instance, should any actions of any officer be singled out as exemplary? And I think we'll remember times when we were reviewing a particularly troublesome case, but we'd see one officer do just the right thing. Or, regardless of the messiness of the initial encounter, should the officer who later investigated the incident be commended for the thoroughness of the investigation? Now, suppose that the CPRB felt that the police department failed to perform in a way that citizens could find satisfactory. Then I think the board's obligation would be to explain to the chief and the city manager in plain, clear, non-legalistic language what went wrong. The description of what went wrong, if taken seriously, could lead the department to change a policy or alter a training practice or, in a few cases, deal firmly with an officer who is clearly out of line. The more I study the matter, the more I'm convinced that a civilian oversight would work better in Columbia if the CPRB weren't perceived by officers and citizens alike as a kind of sort of court where officers are kind of sort of put on trial. Instead, I wish it could be seen as a body of citizens dedicated to examining particular encounters between officers and citizens in order to make responsible, informed suggestions about how the entire department can be improved. Now, those changes in state law we're talking about and the city ordinance changes that follow, in fact, present an obstacle to doing any such thing. So I think when we're looking at what the next stage might look like, the Chinese say that crisis and opportunity are two, you know, the same character represents crisis and opportunity. When we're looking at how to get out of the quagmire that we're in now, I believe that citizens who really favor effective civilian oversight need to do everything they can to persuade the city council to rethink the way they've defined and limited the work of the CPRB from the beginning, right? Let's be prepared to really think hard about whether the model that we're using is a productive model or whether there's a way to shift to quality control of the entire department instead of being a kind of judicial operation. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Other comments, but there are no more.
One of the things, quick comment. One of the things from one of the keynote speakers, and I can't remember exactly who it was when we were at the conference, they kind of touched on this, is that law enforcement and the CR, you know, our whatever organizations, the oversight boards, needed to be able to work together. It was not an us against them It was trying to figure out how to build confidence and you know, transparency and trust together. So I, you know, kind of some of the what you were saying, and
the
I
boards and the police
between the boards and the police. I mean, we are not the enemy. And when I rode, I did a ride along. I don't remember when it was. It's been a while, a few months ago. And the officer knew that I was from the board, so it was kind of a little bit not standoffish. I mean, he was a very polite man, but we didn't have a lot of communication at first. And so, you know, I just, at some point it came up that I was a police officer at one point. Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that? Dude, well, I'm still the same person. I'm still the same person that I was a minute ago, and you thought I was just a board member. I said, you're not understanding. We're not against you. You know, so I think that communication needs to be understood, that we're not out to get law enforcement. We're out to help an entire community, and that community has law enforcement within it. You know, so we need to be working together and not against each other. So that's all I had to say.
Well said. Thank you for that. Okay, no more comments by public. On to number 9. General comments by members and staff. Do you have anything? Nope. What do you like to add?
I am finished.
Very good. Anyone else? Steph?
Sometime in 2025, I would like to sit down and have a respectful conversation about the officers sitting up here, but I understand it quickly becomes a heated conversation, and I want to make sure that there's not mudslinging. But we should have that conversation eventually. I know we have enough on our January agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Thank you for that. Any other comments?
Should we add that to February's agenda?
I was thinking February or March. Let's get a rhythm going, and then let's have an actual conversation without someone yelling. Okay.
Backing though on what Steph was saying, though, it seems like if the police officers are here with us, then it does seem like it's a more of a cooperative situation. You know what I mean? On the one hand,
I don't think they shouldn't not be here.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, maybe just being in the room but not up with, you know, we could still ask Paul questions and yeah, he can still make comments and things like that. But yeah, that it's something to think about because it does.
And we talked about that.
That impression, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking,
you don't want to make it look like, yeah, like it's us against
adversarial,
them.
Right? Yeah. Right.
I was thinking about maybe we could discuss it in February, do some research, come back in March, and then, yeah, my logic and my anecdote would be other city employees at the city council meeting do sit here, and when they are speaking or conversing, they do come up and use the microphone, but other than that, they are sitting as members of the public. Let's talk about it in spring. We have enough going on right now.
Thank you for those comments. No reason to go. Is there a reason to go into closed session at all?
Only if anyone has any questions about the cases that you previously provided recommendations on.
Anyone?
I don't.
I'm hearing none, so we will skip that. And I guess number 11, next meeting date, next regular meeting, 8 January, 2025.
Wow.
2025.
Can you believe it? All right. Well, with that note.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Second that. All those in favor?
Aye. Who made the motion? I can make
Steph
it.
Steph made the motion.
Okay. I seconded.
Oh, you seconded.
Someone over there did it.
Coleman. Yeah, I just
Coleman
made
good.
It.
Steph seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This meeting is adjourned.
34 minutes, y'all. We did it. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.